When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Retro intro again from Dex today.
It's the, you know what it is? It's the muscle memory, even in fact, behind the scenes right now. We're trying to retrain muscle memory with a lot of different things. And I just see the purple intro on my button bar, and I just assume, oh, it's that one. And there's another purple one that's the updated one to the left. So I've been clicking the same spot for 4 years. I'm trying to train my brain to use the other one.
Can we just get rid of
the old one?
Yeah.
Well, at first I said to do that, and you guys said, you actually said, Phil, no, keep it for now. And I said, okay.
Well, no, not... I meant, like, don't delete it from like, everything.
Oh, no, I don't think we can delete anything from ever from our great system we have here at Zeta. But that is why
I mean, we should just, like, have a copy of it somewhere, you know, okay, for the archives of Purple Daily history.
Oh, the bickering has already begun.
Can't you just click and drag it to move it?
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, the guest comes in and has some ideas.
But Declan's lashing out, I feel like.
Oh, not lashing out. I'm explaining the process of what was. I said, should I replace it? And I said, and originally it was no. And I said, okay, so I'll just keep it right up there. I'll keep it right in there. So that's where it was.
So, yeah, we should just move it to the archives of Purple Daily. We'll go from there. But welcome into the show here. You'll notice on the YouTube channel, and you've heard his voice already here for the audio audience, Tyler Fornes joining us here on Purple Daily today. And you can find his fine work on Purple Daily on Draft. You can find him as the managing editor of the Vikings Wire. And also your YouTube channel is Vikings First in Skoll, right, for people to subscribe to that. Forno?
Yes, sir. We're catching up to you guys. We're almost at 2,300 subscribers, not even a year yet. So dude, watch out, Phil. Watch out.
Let's get you guys. Let's get Forno to 2,500 here after this episode. 2,500. If you guys could go subscribe to the Vikings First and Skoll YouTube channel, we can help our guy Forno.
And we're a family too. Like we're happy. Like this whole competition thing now. Let's, you know what? The more Vikings consumption, the better.
Amen.
So, like, if you do well, we do well. That's what I love. It's not like the old,
absolutely,
what do the Nielsen say about that? No, it's not that anymore. Everybody thrives.
See, look at Judd.
Absolutely.
Judd's a very Zen-like.
He's my guy. I want to see my guy Forno do well. I think it's fantastic.
Yes, I agree. Rising water, what is it they say? Like, water
tide
raises tides, all boats
rising
rise.
Rise for everybody when they rise. That's what it was.
Exactly. Put it on the shirt. So, okay, Tyler was just in Alabama for Senior Bowl week, and there's a million things we want to talk about. We will do a mock draft simulation on PFF's simulator too, but let's start with quarterbacks. I know you love Bo Nix, so try to contain your love for Bo Nix here, Tyler. But Bo Nix was down there. Michael Penix was down there. Let's just start with quarterbacks that could be on the Vikings' radar in the first couple rounds. What did you observe? What did you learn? And how did your opinions change of some of these guys?
Oh, I really like how you frame that, because I'll be honest, my opinions really didn't change with Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. They didn't do anything to stand out or change the opinions of them. And I've had some people say, oh, you're just stubborn with your Bo Nix opinion. No, I have my opinion. I got it from the film. I got it from watching and studying Bo Nix. And there has been no data presented to me that's going to have me change it at this point. And the biggest thing with Nix, he was in an offense at Auburn, which a lot of people will remember that offense because Cam Newton won a Heisman Trophy in that offense. And they modified it a little bit because Cam Newton was so special on the ground, but it's a relatively vertical passing offense. And if you want kind of comparisons to what he was running at Auburn, go watch Central Florida. Like John Rhys Plumlee, they're throwing the ball down the field. It is a vertical passing concept offense, and he massively struggled. Goes to Oregon, and they do a bunch of smoke and mirrors. His average depth of target is 6.9 yards, and 6.9 yards is putrid in college football. All of his contemporaries, over 10. Why? Why is Bo Nix only throwing 6.9 yards? Because he can't attack the intermediate levels of the field like you want an NFL quarterback to do. Like Kirk Cousins can go from 1, 2, 3, 4 and then hit the check down. Bo Nix goes 1 and then throws the check down. He does not process very well going from read to read. And a lot of what he does is this one read is going to come open at this point, get it there. And it's all smoke and mirrors. It's designed to hide the deficiencies. So I don't buy into him. And I know other big media analysts do. I don't understand that. I was hoping to be able to talk to some of them down in Mobile, but everybody's working, so it can be a little bit difficult to have some of those conversations. But I'm out on Bo Nix. Penix, it's about the same. Like he still struggles when he gets interior pressure. His footwork is a little misaligned at times. And because of that, that sidearm release that he has, the ball can sail. You see some that sometimes with Lamar Jackson. The sidearm release, if you don't have really clean footwork, that ball can sail on you really easily. And Penix has some of those issues, but he does throw a javelin and can really hit the deep ball with some precise accuracy. So there is good, but can you fix those issues? Can you fix footwork of a guy who's already 24 and you have to completely work that over? Now, a guy like J.J. McCarthy, 21 years old, a lot less tread on the tires. And something that people don't think about, Penix has, I think it's like 800 more passing attempts in college. That doesn't include 3 extra years of college practices where you're throwing upwards of 100, 200 passes per practice. That quarterback coaches I've heard say it takes about 10,000 throws to completely change your mechanics for muscle memory purposes. When you have that type of mileage on, it makes it really difficult to be able to fix some of those things. So I still have Penix as a mid-second round grade. I have Bo Nix as a 4th. I didn't think they did anything, but the one guy who did, Spencer Rattler, South Carolina. Yeah, he was projected at one point to be the first overall pick in 2022. Then that 2021 season in Oklahoma happened. It felt like the entire university gave up and turned on Rattler. And then Caleb Williams comes in during the Red River rivalry, kind of takes over. But then he and Lincoln go out to USC. Spencer Rattler follows his old offensive coordinator, Shane Beamer, goes out to South Carolina, and he played behind an absolutely putrid offensive line. It was the 4 of us playing online there. It was really bad. And you could tell some of his decision-making suffered. Some of his underlying metrics weren't great. But he came into Mobile and was incredibly consistent, showed a lot of poise. Had a couple of bad moments, but every quarterback has bad moments in Mobile. It's not a place designed for quarterbacks to be successful. And I saw enough there where it's like, okay, he's grown a lot. You can tell how mature of a person he is just by having a conversation with him. And you can tell that he has shown proficiencies to grow and get better. His arm talent, once he gets drafted in the NFL, you could argue it's a top 5 arm in football. It's the rest of his game that you need to figure out if you can fix it enough for him to be successful. Can you make him into a Josh Allen type player where Allen's going to give you so much positive that it outweighs the negative? Because you're not going to completely get rid of the negative of Spencer Rattler. But can you make the positive good enough to balance it out? That's what everybody's going to have to answer. And I would take a shot at him on day 2 because arm talent's just absurd. But the quarterbacks, it's a really tough spot for those guys.
So of those 4, are any of them in Europe opinion, Fornell, prepare to step in and play next season? Or would all four just ideally sit and, you know, in the case of Penix, basically be worked with on a daily basis to hopefully change the mechanical issues that you talked about?
I wouldn't want any of them playing day one. I think of any of them, you could probably give the ball to both Rattler and Penix, like, I don't know, 6 to 8 games through the year, which is kind of like, if you're not going to start the guy day one, they usually come in around that week 6 to 8 mark, and then they can kind of show what they have because they've had enough time to be able to kind of see how game week works and have enough work within the construct of how they want you to operate, how they want you to use the footwork. You have more time to get ingrained with the playbook. Bo Nix, I see him as a Chase Daniel type backup. I don't really like him at all, and I think a lot of the reason why people are going to like him is because of the success of Brock Purdy and how a limited quarterback, as far as like arm talent, this, that, and the other thing, can be successful. Well, not Brock Purdy wouldn't be successful everywhere. He's as successful as he is because of his situation. That's why situation matters so much. So I consider Penix, but I don't love the idea of him playing year one. And that's tough for a guy who's already 24.
But here's the biggest question when it comes to, so you can never be 100% sure really with anyone other than like Andrew Luck 10 years ago. Hell, the 49ers are one of the smartest front offices in the NFL. And they said, yep, we're going to give up a bunch of draft capital to get Trey Lance. And it didn't work with Trey Lance. And there was injuries and whatever. But my question is, if you're trying to decide between moving up from 11 to 3, let's say, to get one of the top three dudes on the board, or you can stay around 11, maybe even like trade back a slot or two or whatever and go get one of the three top edge rushers, or you can get, you know, some other piece that's not a quarterback, and then maybe you draft one of the other three guys or four guys if you're putting Spencer Rattler in the mix too, late first round trade back in or second round. You know, what's the play if you're the Vikings? Do you just say screw it? If they go into the draft saying we need a quarterback in the first two rounds, do you just aggressively move up into the top three and give up on draft capital, or do you play a little bit safer, get your defensive player, and then make a move later in the first round or the second round for one of the tier B guys?
I'll counter with this. Who's your guy? That is what it all boils down to. You can't draft a guy unless he's your guy. You can do that in round five. You can take a chance on a guy like Jaren Hall and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe we have something in him. And based on the evidence we saw in that Green Bay game, the answer is probably no. I wouldn't call it a hard no, because it's hard to judge a rookie based off of one half of football. But you have to understand that if this is my guy, I'm doing whatever I can to get him. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can't make a trade unless you are convinced he's your guy. When the Niners traded up to three, they were convinced that they could have one of three guys. And they knew they were getting at least one of them. They were wrong. Lance didn't work out. But they had the conviction that they believed it was going to work out. And you have to have that same mindset. You can't just draft a quarterback to draft one. That's how you get Christian Ponder. You have to believe in that player and do whatever it takes to get him. If you believe in J.J. McCarthy, look, you can make the argument. You can't let him pass 11 because you have Denver at 12 and you have New Orleans at 14. They're both quarterback needy teams. You can't let them get away. You have to do whatever you can to get that guy. And once they identify him, just get him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So as a guy who's watched, four quarterbacks recently at the Senior Bowl, and then more importantly, 4-0, has watched a ton of tape. Tell me this. What is, in your opinion, in your scouting opinion, what is your feeling about those top three? Like, how easy do you think it would be? You know, let's say the Bears won't trade with the Vikings and Caleb goes first. So that leaves Jaden Daniels and the kid from Drake May, North Carolina. What is your feeling about the separation there and about the Vikings, in your opinion, should say one of those two guys is most definitely our guy? And then to Phil's point, that then potentially results in a major trade of draft capital going to, let's say, the Patriots at three.
Based on my evaluations, Drake May is currently number two on my board. Jaden Daniels is number six. I have not fully watched Caleb Williams yet. That's going to come in time, but I'd be very comfortable with either one of those guys running this offense. I think May's ability to run quick game is going to help him out. He needs work, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that his offenses at North Carolina are just like an abomination of football. They're just terrible offenses. They're terrible for projection. They're not fun to watch, but he has all these tools. And when you talk about a young quarterback coming into the game, running quick game, just the really quick stuff. Hey, three-step drop, fire. He can do that at a very, very high level. So you can then work around that. Use that as your baseline, and then continue to grow concepts. Even Odie is getting all excited about it over there in the corner.
How can he not?
I know. May has his issues, but I think his net positives and his ability to be able to take things to the next level, like a Justin Herbert. Like, he gets compared to Herbert all the time because they play similar yet dissimilar games. They have like the same body and they throw an absolute javelin down the field, and it's just a gorgeous deep ball, and he can drive the ball everywhere. Jaden Daniels is a little different. Daniels was a struggled for 3 years at Arizona State as a pocket passer, but Herm Edwards did him zero favors, absolutely no favors. He gets to LSU and he finally starts to grow, blossom, and develop as that passer. But you need to kind of work with him a little bit. I think he prefers to run just a little bit too much, and I'd like to see him try and attack down the field a little bit more rather than believing in his legs. But some of that, I believe, just stems from how they were kind of coaching him and how he played at Arizona State. Because it was basically, if you don't see it, just run. And you know what? It's really good and it's successful. But you also want to be able to limit those hits. Jaden Daniels is like a Looney Tune out there. You watch his film, he takes the funniest hits. In the first game against LSU, he took like a quarterback draw. He jumped up against defenders and he basically got speared into the ground. And like, these kind of hits are consistent. Yeah. Whereas you look at a guy like Lamar Jackson, he avoids hits better than anybody I've ever seen. And with how Daniels' frame is wiry, I want to see him really take that next step in his development and really focus on attacking the ball downfield with his arm rather than his legs. But there's a ton of talent to work with. And the fact that he is that dual threat adds an element that other guys just don't have. If you have the ability to run the football, it changes how defenses attack you. And it changes how many opportunities and different opportunities you have to attack the defense. So I would be very happy with either of those guys. If the Vikings could just trade up to three, I'd feel very comfortable with it. It doesn't mean they do. And I think that can be the disconnect, because they may only love one guy and that guy might be out of reach. There are just so many variables there, but you have to love that guy, and whoever that is, do whatever you can to get him.
On Penix real quick, just back to him. And you bring up some of the reasons why you have him kind of as a mid second round grade. What do we know about the injury and health concerns? So he's had two major knee injuries, he's had shoulder, he's had three season ending injuries in total. You brought up some of the football related things like footwork and mechanics and things like that, but in just like who you've talked to and everything you've observed covering the NFL draft over the years, how projectable are his injury concerns from college to the NFL in your mind?
Genuinely don't know. And that's the tough part. I haven't heard any form of real concrete data on what Penix's injuries are. I still remember 2 years ago, half of media was saying Carson Strong's knee was really good. The other half was saying that his knee was about to explode. Like, we just don't know. And how we're truly going to know is where Penix gets drafted.
Yeah, because they'll have like more medical information behind the scenes. And then he falls to the fourth round. You'll know that, he's got arthritis or something.
The one thing I've learned is it's not just about the information that gets released. Who's releasing it? Why do they want you to know? And what connections do they have to be able to provide you the information?
Yeah.
So, like, some reporters are very player friendly. Like, Josina Anderson's probably the most player friendly reporter out there. Some have massive connections into front offices. So who's reporting it and why do they want you to know? Those are the big things that it's going to help you kind of determine what matters within the context of these medicals. Because if the player's agent is saying it, well, he's got an agenda. Everybody has an agenda.
Well, teams
you just have
lie.
To figure out what that is. Absolutely.
Teams lie to reporters to put stuff out there in hopes that the kid does drop. And in fact, the Vikings, if they try to get Penix in the second round, would have every reason to privately leak, hey, his knee didn't look good at all, right? But the thing about that is the combine becomes the absolute for the team's key place. Because that's where doctors actually get to examine kids. My guess is that, again, and this has become consistent, Tyler, the majority of quarterbacks won't throw at the combine, but the medicals become the key. So I think once the combine is done, the information as far as Penix, like draftability, you know, first round, second round, third round, will at least be determined by teams. Mm-hmm. But that's the danger is to your point. All of these agents and all of these teams have agendas. They leak stuff out that might be wildly incorrect. So we get the wrong stuff, but it's to try and affect the team. So this is what makes this a fun time because it's just a gong show now as far as information goes.
Absolutely. And you just have to have those critical thinking hats on. It's the same thing that we talk about with politics. Where if Republicans tell you something, what's their spin? Why do they want you to know this information? And it's the same with Democrats. Everybody has their own spin that they want to project forward onto you. And you have to be able to determine what's real, what's not, and what the actual truth is behind some of this stuff. And it makes it really fun and also very frustrating.
You know what has no spin? It's just straight up fun, Declan, is Underdog Fantasy. Before we keep going here, and I think we'll get into the mock draft simulation because it'll allow Tyler to talk about positions of need and some other things. Tell the audience about Underdog this week.
Yeah, that's right. There's actually there's picks you can make, even packs for the Super Bowl. So how about if you want to go heavy on San Francisco, you want to go higher on completion percentage or maybe even lower on Pacheco rushing yards. You can do all this. You can get all these picks in now, lock them in before the game starts. To take advantage of all the great props that are available at Underdog Fantasy for this week's Super Bowl. New users get a $100 deposit match with promo code SCORE, S-K-O-R. So you get an easy little pick'em special, too, to help out that first parlay. Go to Underdog Fantasy, down the Underdog Fantasy app. Show us those winning slips. Promo code SCORE for first-time users for a $100 deposit match.
Also, you heard Tyler's pup, Odie, in the background there, just whining away, wanting some Nutrisource, quite frankly, because that's what our dogs love here on Purple Daily, the official dog and pet food of Score North and Purple Daily, Nutrisource. There's Maya smiling because she knows she's going to get a giant scoop of that Nutrisource chicken and rice.
Boy. And there's Stella scowling, and she already had a second meltdown. She melted down yesterday. She's melted down now. You know what? She's decided that Pop is such a sucker that she's going to melt down during the recordings of the shows to get more treats. And, of course, I say, okay, if that shuts you up, that's what I'll do. She loves her Nutrisource, and she loves the sucker that gives her the Nutrisource.
Exactly. Just throw the cheap treat and run away. That's sometimes my philosophy with Finney. Just,
that's a good
you know,
one. I do that.
You know, whether at the Senior Bowl
it's
or
like
combine. Yeah, just, here we go.
No,
let's go.
Really.
Go get it. What's your vertical, Vinny? How high can you jump?
Hey, Odie loves his Nutrisource treats, so.
See?
Game changer. See? Look at that.
Four.
If you want your dog to be like our four dogs, NutrisourcePetFoods.com to find a Nutrisource retailer somewhere near you. Okay, I am going to... Am I sharing this yet? I don't think I am.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to share this for the YouTube audience. We'll do a little screen share here. We'll bring up the PFF mock draft simulator because this will allow Tyler to go deep on some of the day two, day three prospects.
I want a mock!
Mock!
So here we go, boys. Vikings at 11. We'll do seven rounds, dude. We're going to put you on the spot. So you're going to talk about players that you can Hold just on. Make stuff up if you want to.
Yep.
Oh, he's hydrating.
Oh, he's got the Gatorade.
This is the curse.
I would never make stuff up. I would never insult the audience that way.
Okay. That's good.
I don't know. I'm just going to tell you. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how far along you are in your, your draft prep here, but we're going to go seven rounds.
I've got 39 scouting reports already released on VikingsWire.com.
Oh,
no football for you.
Inject it. I'll hit you.
If you want links to them, just check out my pinned tweet. It's got the list of the database. You can see everything that I have, how everybody's ranked, and links to everybody's report.
Beautiful. Vikings Wire. You can follow Tyler on Twitter to find out all the places that he produces content this draft season as well. So you're going to be the GM, and we're going to be like your scouts in the room that ask questions and pose scenarios. So before we start the draft, what do you want to do here? Do you want to call one of these teams? Do you want to stay at 11? General Manager Forno, what do you want to do here?
I'm going to let the board fall to me. If we see by pick 5 that there's one of these quarterbacks falling, I want to try and take advantage of it.
Okay.
I do have enough faith in J.J. McCarthy where I believe he can be a franchise guy. So I want to just kind of see how the board falls. I don't know if the Vikings are going to have the same opinion. McCarthy's going to be very, very divisive for a lot of reasons. But we'll kind of see what this ends up looking like if I'm assuming.
So here's the first three, just real quick. Caleb Williams, number one of the Bears. And then we got Drake May, number 2, to Washington. Malik Nabers is the first receiver off the board to the Patriots from LSU.
That's a surprise. I love Nabers, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is a bigger and better version of Malik Nabers.
Cardinals are celebrating right now.
Let's see what the Cardinals do. They're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. here, right? They do.
Yep.
Chargers are on the clock at 5. I'll pause it because we've got some quarterback needy teams coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So if it plays out this way and Jaden Daniels is on the board at 5 and the Chargers have Herbert, so they're probably on the phone with like the Falcons, the Giants, right? Who wants to trade up?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do?
The one interesting thing I think with the Chargers is I think they're going to be locked in on Brock Bowers. If you remember how Jim Harbaugh likes to operate his offenses, he loves using 12 personnel. And this is why the McCarthy thing is going to be such an interesting discussion because he wants to play a certain brand of football. He wants to play smash mouth. The quarterback is a part of the team, but we do not revolve everything around the quarterback. It happened that way when he was at San Diego. It happened that way when he coached Andrew Luck at Stanford.
Yeah.
Happened that way with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. It's happened that way every team at Michigan.
Dude, you know what, too? So Greg Roman comes back in as his offensive coordinator. Greg Roman was the 49ers offensive coordinator when Jim Harbaugh was there. He's also been with Buffalo, the Ravens. If you look at Giro, as they call him, our guy Booney calls him Giro. If you look at where his offenses have ranked 10 years as a coordinator in rushing attempts versus passing attempts, always top 5, if not number 1 in rushing attempts, always bottom of the barrel in passing attempts. But the scoring offenses, he's had like 5 top 5 scoring offenses. So you wonder with that philosophy of Harbaugh and Greg Roman, which is run the ball, pound the rock, do they still do that with Justin Herbert as the trigger man? Super interesting.
Yeah. We'll have to fact check this. I actually don't think Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator. I think he's an assistant and the run game coordinator. I don't know if they've hired an offensive coordinator yet. And if I'm wrong, that's fine. But I hope Greg Roman's not the offensive coordinator. That Odie, with his whining right now at the door, could design a better passing game than Greg Roman. He's so good at run concepts, but when it comes to a developed passing game, it's just not there. And you can see the difference in how Lamar Jackson was as a passer last year and prior years versus this year under Todd Monken. It's night and day. because he just does not have that capability compared to other coordinators in the league to really develop an NFL passing game.
So should we look into trade up here, general manager Forno, or do you want to let the board play out a little bit more?
I'd say let's let it play out because I don't think the Chargers are going to trade. I think they're going to take Brock Bowers.
They go receiver Rome Odunze from Washington. Nice. So they do add a young weapon.
I have no issue with Rome Odunze. I love Odunze. He gives me real DeAndre Hopkins vibes where Odunze is going to run in the 4.3s, but everything he does is so smooth, and his body control and just being able to go attack the football with ease and make it look like nothing is just impressive. I love Odunze, and he's going to make some quarterback very happy. And if it ends up being Justin Herbert, that's going to be a lethal combination for years.
So a run of receivers here, Giants on the clock at 6. I'll resume draft until you tell us to make a trade. Otherwise we can let the board play out.
I'm going to let the board play out because at this point, I don't think the Giants will trade either.
Joe Alt.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, they can use him.
Jerzon Newton to the Titans. Now the Falcons are on the clock at 8. You got to think Jaden Daniels goes here, right?
Yeah.
Unless Kirk Cousins already signed.
This is
why, like, I love doing mock drafts, and I think they're really important, but it's an exercise to look at situations, because free agency is going to tell us a ton.
Yep.
Like the Titans not taking an offensive lineman here. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. Especially when they have Jeffrey Simmons. I don't think Newton really fits what they want to do, but hey, this is why you look at things, because you never know when a Laramie Tunsil gas mask is coming. Yeah. You never know.
This is why you mock right here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's important to understand all situations. You know what? Teams do this because they want to be prepared. Hey, if this guy ends up on the board, what are we going to do?
Yep.
There's Jaden Daniels to the Falcons at 8. Mm-hmm. And then the Iowa cornerback at 9. Brock Bowers goes 10 to the Jets, mm-hmm. Jets. So Vikings on the clock at 11. All of the edge rushers are available. Where would you be at? Talk us through some of these guys who might be here. So Nate Wiggins, Dallas Turner, you have Jared Verse. Talk us through these guys.
I haven't done a full study on Wiggins yet. I see some people have him as CB1. Some people have him as low as like 8. He's tall and really thin. He's going to weigh in about 180, 185 pounds, but he's got length and he's got some aggressiveness to him. Good ball skills. Dallas Turner, it depends what you watch. If you watch the one rep where he absolutely obliterates the Georgia tackle in the SEC title game, he looks like the first overall pick. No consistency in his game. And that lack of consistency to me is a really big issue. I have him as a second round grade because there's a blueprint there, but there's not enough with the technical elements for me to really have him viewed highly. Jared Verse, he reminds me of George Karloftis. People are going to have him wide range of the spectrum. Some guys are going to have him top 10. Some guys are going to have him around 30. And I think that kind of variance is just, it's going to play. I think he probably goes after pick 20. Terrion Arnold, he's going to be my cornerback one. I love his game. Right now he's third on my board. He is everything you want in a cornerback, and he's got the ability to play man, zone, man match, trained by Nick Saban, and he's got the athleticism, size, and length to be able to attack. Odie even wants a cornerback. He's so excited in the background there. He's whining so much because we have a cleaning lady downstairs, and he just wants to go play.
He loves it.
Well, look at Forno with the cleaning people coming into his house.
He's just saying, you know what it probably is? It's probably our friends over at Zero Res, folks. That's right. Mm-hmm. Zero Res Minnesota, with their 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Google with 17,000 reviews. You can ask for the Score North Special, which is 3 rooms, Zero Resified, starting at just $119, and a free hallway as well. And this month, get $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. All you have to do is call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Score North Special. Spell it forward or backwards, it spells the same. Zero Res.
Yeah. We have used Zero Res twice since we got Odie because we've had some difficulty potty training. They do a fantastic job.
Odie doesn't subscribe to the Zero Res philosophy, but that's why you bring your friends in from Zero Res. About Laiatu Latu, the edge from UCLA?
Latu's going to be a weird one. Medically retired from a neck injury. in 2021. Goes to UCLA. Most rushers have 1 to 2 defined moves coming out. Latu has 6 to 8. I have never seen a edge rusher this technically refined in my time covering the NFL draft, but he's not going to test as a hyper athlete. I think he's going to be good enough athletically, but edge rushers, you really want that next level.
What changed on the neck issue, Tyler? So he
genuinely don't know, but
okay. That worries me.
Like it. Oh, it should. Like it is with most things. One doctor may say, absolutely not. The other doctor is like, oh, I see a good prognosis here.
Okay.
Like, that's pretty normal. I remember Wrestling Reference, Bryan Danielson, when he was with WWE, they had him medically retired due to concussions. It took him years, but he was able to get cleared by multiple outside doctors, and then he ended up coming back, and he's suffered, I think, one concussion since then. So theoretically, he's doing very well.
So would you hear, just to, because we're going to move through and make some picks here. So we're sitting at 11. There are two teams interested in trading with us. Let's just see who those teams are. Yes. The Bengals the Giants at 39. We're not moving back that far. But the Bengals at 18. Is it worth moving back 7 slots here? Or would you stand pat and take one of these guys?
So I think it'd be worth moving back. I'll say this. There's no way the Bengals trade up. They don't trade up. They've never traded up. They don't trade. And for me, I just don't see it being realistic to trade with the Bengals. But I think the general construct of moving back to about 18, because I don't think the prospects are going to be tenfold different going from 11 to 18 than they would at other points in the draft. Because you're probably going to have one of Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Terry and Arnold there. And there are still some other really good prospects. Like, there is a good chance that like 4 offensive linemen go in that range. Dane Brugler had 11 offensive linemen in his first mock draft. That's not a mistake. This offensive line class is absurd.
What would it take here? So just realistically, it's telling us that we obviously swapped the 11 and the 18. The Bengals would kick in their second round pick. Is that too lofty? Should we see what happens?
To go up 7 spots in the first round, I don't have the Rich Hill trade chart in front of me, but that feels about right.
Okay. Let's see. Let's offer this trade and see what happens here, boys. Trade accepted. Okay, we picked up an extra second round pick. Mm-hmm. Or wait a second. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we're good. Okay, resume. We're going to go through here, and then we're going to make our pick at, I'm just going to go turbo Uwaga's here.
Awesome, but...
We're back on the clock at 18. So the edge rushers have all, those 3 edge rushers have all gone. Bo Nix just went as the 4th quarterback off the board. And that puts the Vikings back on the clock here. Give us a player that you want to take here, Tyler, at 18.
All right. So there's a lot of different ways you can go here. One guy that's not on here, and PFF has him ranked really low, and that's Chop Robinson, the edge rusher out of Penn State. I'm in love with his game. He's the 4th player on my board right now. I think he's... that he and Terry and Arnold are far and away the best defensive players in this draft, but he's just not viewed as highly as some of these other guys, and I'm not entirely sure why. Like, Darius Robinson is a guy I absolutely love, too. He's the archetype of J.J. Watt. He's not J.J. Watt as a player, but the versatility of being able to move inside a 3 technique, go all the way out to a wide 9, and with his 34 6/8-inch arms, he can do a lot of different things to help maximize your team. That's a guy I want to take in round 2. When I look at the board, Quinyon Mitchell's fascinating to me. He played a lot of off coverage at Toledo, mainly cover 3 match kind of stuff, and he was really good at it. Never was asked to play press. He goes to Mobile and dominates in press, losing 1 rep, and that was to Roman Wilson, who's arguably the best player at the Senior Bowl. I love what Mitchell brings to the table. Right here, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I think I would probably go with Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay. Let's do it.
I do love Chop Robinson, but that kind of corner would help elevate things to a different level.
Nice.
So there we go. We picked up a corner here. So we're on the clock again at 42 because we're going turbo mode. And by the way, your guy Chop Robinson is available to draft at 42 if you want. But we also, let's see here, J.J. McCarthy. Let's see, where is he still on the board?
Yes, he
is. So we have picks 42 and 49.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go J.J. McCarthy here and then cross your fingers on Chop Robinson or trade back up to get a Chop Robinson?
If you believe in the quarterback, you take him. because I thought you had moved it back down to slow mode, I thought we were going to, I was going to try and trade up for JJ McCarthy, because I think the Teddy Bridgewater idea with McCarthy makes a lot of sense if you really evaluate how the draft board's going to fall.
Yeah.
I don't know where McCarthy ends up going. My guess, he goes in the first round no matter what. So the Vikings may have to just take him at 11 if they really want him, theoretically. And we can have the conversation, is he worth it or is he not, all day long. I'll tell you this much. If you believe in the guy, there's no price too high to pay. Because it's going to, he's going to come in with Addison, Jefferson, and have Darrisson O'Neal as his bookend tackles.
Yeah, it's a great situation.
It's a phenomenal situation.
Yeah, and for the purposes of this exercise, he is available right now at 42. So we're going to take him, guys. We just got our quarterback in JJ McCarthy.
Let's see if Chop stays available.
I'm going to pause this just to see here. So we're at 48. Well, unless the Jaguars take him, your guy Chop Robinson is still available too.
Yeah. Chop Robinson's fourth on my board. Honestly, I should have taken him in the first round.
Oh, we could get it. If we think that the Jags aren't going to take him, then we could just trade up with the Jags.
Yeah,
just to make sure. Let's trade up with the Jags.
Offer 230 and see if you can make that happen.
It says it will be accepted. Yeah. Okay.
It's a seventh round pick for one spot.
There we go.
We're on. Chop. We're back. Chop Robinson. Welcome to the Vikings. There we go, boys. Okay.
Chop Robinson should be the first defensive player off the board, but he's not going to be. And that makes me a little sad, but now you can live with it. So now we have an edge rusher, we have cornerback, and we have the quarterback of the future.
Yes. Pretty good here.
I would like to know how much work the Vikings have done on the defensive line and the edge room to really know where we should go with this pick. But there's a lot of things we can do at 108.
And what about running backs? Running backs around sort of like, because what are we now in the fourth round here?
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of your like early day three, late day two, early day three running backs that could be sitting out there?
Let me tell you about a guy who's going to be compared a lot to Christian McCaffrey. His name is Dylan Labbe from New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. He's not Christian McCaffrey, but people talk about using Christian McCaffrey as like a slot receiver and being super multiple with all these weapons. They actually used Labbe as a slot receiver at New Hampshire. I talked to him in Mobile, and what he told me was, because I asked him, like, the development of a player like yourself, running backs don't learn how to be slot receivers. That's just not how you coach. So I asked, how did that happen? He's like, well, they knew I knew the running back playbook well enough, and I was 100% good to go there. So like, just go learn how to play slot. So he did against Central Michigan. He caught 12 passes for nearly 300 yards. We're talking slot fades out.
So he caught 68 passes for 708 yards as a running back. Wow. Interesting.
But he's catching passes significantly out of the slot. I really like him. I think this point in the draft is probably a little too high, especially because it's not just about what the talent is. It's about being able to maximize your value. But I'll say this. Bucky Irving is on the board. I'm slamming Bucky Irving.
Oh,
I am very, very high on Bucky Irving.
He's back.
Obviously, the former Gopher. He almost got a first-round grade from me. He only weighs 195 pounds, looks a little slender, but it doesn't really impact him. And in a world where you're not going to have a bell cow, having a guy that has that kind of contact bounce, that has the explosiveness of Bucky Irving, I'm in. I absolutely love his game. He's probably going to end up being my top running back.
Talk dirty, Tyler. All right. Yes. Let's go.
Football.
Okay. We got the one. We're on the clock at 129.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in terms of, I mean, it's not all about need here. I think best player available probably screams pretty loudly too. But, you know, if there was an interior defensive player, like a defensive tackle, linebacker is pretty weak. And I would say, once again, guard depth remains a question for the Vikings too. Zach Zinter is sitting here from Michigan as the number one player on this board.
Football again, though.
Well, that could be a problem, you know.
it's a genuine question because at Ohio State, he suffered a really bad fracture of his leg, and there were some rumors that he may never play football again. And you know what? He may be just fine. We don't know, and until we have a little bit more information on his health development, I just want to stay away. Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa is a very intriguing prospect. Went to the Shrine Bowl and was one of the real standouts.
Oh, there you go, he's Judd. 317 listed, which means he's more than 317.
Oh, he brings the heft.
This is what Judd wants, Tyler, is like just like a 320-pound, you know, just someone who can clog
run
up the
clogger,
middle.
Just clogs everything.
Look, if you haven't heard of Tavondre Sweat, you need to. He chose not to weigh in at the Senior Bowl. Okay, he's listed by Texas as 6'4", 362. He's a big boy.
His listed weight is just 4 exclamation points.
Why didn't he weigh in? Dude, you be proud of it.
Well, it's something that can really impact your draft stock because at a certain point, it's not being proud of it. It's scouts will dock you for it.
Okay. Well, should we go Christian Boyd here?
Not me.
I like the idea of Christian Boyd. I think he can be a nice compliment. If you have an opportunity to get Tavondre Sweat, I would absolutely love that. I talked to him in Mobile and asked him because he weighs 362 plus. And I'm like, why are you playing a three technique? 80% of his snaps are a three technique, not nose.
No, he's a nose.
And he, you know, these guys are so media trained. He didn't really give me a great answer. So I asked him, I'm like, what did NFL evaluators tell you about how your game will project? And he's like, just F stuff up.
Leap step up.
Yeah.
Just works. An all-time great answer.
That works.
All-timer.
That works for life.
It does. Well, yeah. What's your strategy in life? Just go F stuff up.
So on Friday night, when you hit the bars, what do you do? I just F stuff up.
So, okay, hey, we got 4 more picks, and we have about 5 minutes here. So let's make 4 more picks here. And we'll do this again with you, Tyler. So you'll definitely get multiple cracks at this. The 148, we're on the clock with the 148. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a couple linebackers here. J.D. Bertrand from Notre Dame, Cedric Gray. They definitely need linebackers, if nothing else, for special teams purposes. So
the one interesting thing about this linebacker class is you could legit have 10 evaluators give you 10 different names. There is no true standout. There's a lot of guys who are interesting, but there might not be a linebacker taken until like pick 50. It's just not a strong class. And if there's anything we've learned over the past year of football, linebackers are becoming increasingly more important in today's game. If I were to make a pick here, I like Cedric Gray a little bit. I think he can do multiple things for you, and it gives you some depth at a position that you need to fortify in some way, shape, or form.
We're back here with the 160th pick, the 160th pick. Luke McCaffrey.
Throw off receivers for me.
Luke McCaffrey. Let's see here. Yeah, you're right, because they are going to lose KJ Osborne, almost certainly. Powell is a free agent as well. So we got Luke McCaffrey, DeCorian Clark, Anthony Gould, Moose Muhammad III. I love how there's two other Moose Muhammads in that family.
Yeah. Well, one of them was Mushin Muhammad, who played for the Carolina Panthers for years. That's his dad.
There you go.
He and Brew McCoy both returned to school. This simulator hasn't been updated to reflect that yet. You saw earlier, right before this, Nazir Stackhouse, the interior defensive lineman from Georgia, he also went back. So these simulators are going to continue to get updated to fortify who's actually in the draft. McCaffrey is an interesting guy. He just couldn't separate in Mobile. He was also a former quarterback. He was a five-star quarterback that committed to Nebraska, then eventually ended up at Rice, made the switch over to wide receiver.
Yep.
Physically, he looks like his brother, but he just can't separate with any form of consistency. I like Clark, dealt with a knee injury last year into this year, but he's a really good football player, and UTSA was one of my favorite schools to watch over the course of the last couple of years. Their quarterback, Frank Harris, unfortunately had retired due to a knee, but really, really fun player, can go vertical. You know what? I would go DeCorian Clark. I think this is a good value for him.
Welcome to the Vikings, DeCorian Clark here. Welcome to the Mr. Mankato
prepared
competition.
Prepared to play for the Vikings? to put on that jersey?
168 here, gentlemen.
All right, so a couple guys that really jump off the page. Isaiah Adams, good offensive lineman. I think it could be a swing guy for you. Dalen Holker, look, we need to face the facts that Hockenson may not play in 2024.
He late surgery.
At the end of January, and a 9-month recovery timetable has him out about the first 8 weeks. So you need to find a way to fortify the position. Is it with Johnny Munt bringing him back, and then you have him, Oliver, and Nick Muse? Do you continue to fortify through the draft? I like Holker. He is much more of a receiver than a blocker at this point. Played at Colorado State under Jay Norvell, who runs a very traditional air raid. But what they do with it is they like to run the ball out of the pistol. And I think his ability to catch the football, kind of be that H-back type, I think is a really interesting idea for the Minnesota Vikings and a good way to stay multiple and not be super concrete with how you football. Structure your teams.
We're doing it. We're doing it. And then this is our last pick as we traded our seventh round pick. So the first pick in the sixth round, the 179. Anyone stand out?
No. I would say that the one guy that stands out that's interesting is Ladarius Henderson. Very, very athletic, large tackle from Michigan. Transferred from Arizona State this past year and had a relatively good season, a little inconsistent. He was benched early on, but ended up getting that job back and finished really strong. I thought he had a decent Senior Bowl week. Probably just a swing guy at the next level. But those are guys you need. You need to have those players on the roster. Absolutely. You can't keep paying a Rashad Hill or Ole Udo a few million dollars to be that guy. You're going to have to trust young players to be able to get that done. I think Henderson could be that guy.
And there it is, boys, as we wait for the grade from PFF here. Our mock draft simulation. So the overall grade, well, no, it's at the bottom here. So it's an A-. An A-. That's pretty good. Boy, there's some DeCorian Clark shade here for Tyler.
So we didn't get a guard. That's the old, right?
Well, no, I mean, Ladarius Henderson could be could be moved inside, right?
I would probably say no.
No? Okay.
Probably swing tackle.
Yeah.
He's like 6'5", 320 or something.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yep. All right, well, that's not a bad draft.
You can find a couple guards, whatever, street free agent.
Quarterback excitement off the charts right now.
Like, even if you don't get a quarterback, if you end up with Quinion Mitchell and Chop Robinson, I'm drooling. Like,
I hope Chop ends up in Canton, dude.
Because the way that you are selling him right now, my expectation is that Chop is going to have a bust in Canton by next season. Chop.
He still needs to grow with some of the finesse technical elements, but man, you're not going to get a more explosive edge rusher. His get off on the ball is like Myles Garrett-esque. I'm not going to quite go that far. But Myles Garrett can get off the ball faster than anybody in the league.
So why is he falling?
I just don't think people are buying enough with the athleticism, and they're too worried about how unrefined he is technically. But I think he's more refined than people are giving him credit.
But a guy with a neck problem who was told to quit playing football is a surefire first-round pick now.
Well, based on the film, yes. Based on the medicals, we'll see.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So if there is a franchise to take a super athletic edge that's a little bit raw and elevate him, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, more so even than Everson Griffin. Mm-hmm. I mean, this franchise has done it with some guys. So
what about Chop as a Dallas Cowboy playing for Zim?
Oh, gosh.
Football.
Oh, gosh.
Danielle Hunter, third round pick from LSU. Didn't think much of him.
Listen, I just think about Mike Zimmer with Micah Parsons, and I'm drooling.
It's going to be
for a football sense. I want to watch it.
Yeah. That little double Cali, double A gap, Micah Parsons.
He's got to have some new ideas too, right? Like it's been 2 years now. He's been watching film. He's got to spice up the double A gap.
Mm-hmm.
Spice up the double A gap. Spice That's up a new the shirt. It's a new shirt.
There's got to be new stunts and stuff. I'm going to tell you right now. I was always surprised he didn't capitalize more on what he did against the Saints in the playoff game. There were some ideas he showed there that I don't feel like we saw again, and they were brilliant ideas.
Mm-hmm. I think some of that just has to do with teams kind of figure it out, because he did use it again, just not with that form of consistency.
Right.
That's why as a defensive coordinator, it's so hard to be great year over year, because you have to always evolve. And that's what I'm going to look forward to seeing with Brian Flores. How is he going to evolve this version of his defense? Because that's the key.
Tyler, it was a pleasure simulating this mock with you, sir.
Likewise.
Thanks for coming on the show. And we'll be bringing Tyler in on the main Purple Daily show throughout the next few weeks off and on. And then we're hoping to have you join us for at least a huge chunk of the draft party, which we'll have more information about as soon as we can for the public. But that's a wrap on this meat and potatoes draft episode of Purple Daily Vikings Entertainment.